Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
I've got a real interesting thing today. Last week, I've been talking for a couple weeks about a three-cord rope, which is not easily broken, and we've talked about the warrior spirit that's in every one of us. How many of you know there's a warrior spirit in every one of us? And next Sunday, when I'm going to go into the statesman spirit, and I ran across an incredible video. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it, and Chuck's going to have it ready for next week. Of General Norman Schwarzkopf, and he's being interviewed back in 1991, right after the Gulf War, by Barbara Walters, and all of a sudden he tears up. And she asked him, she said, "How is it that you can be such a man, a general?" At that time he was a four-star general. You know, I think I'm right on this. We've only in the history of this nation had 5 5-star generals. I believe I'm right on that. I didn't verify, but I think I'm right. But anyway, he's one of them now. But she said, "How can you tear up that easy?" And this is what he said. He said, "I don't trust a..." How can you cry that easy? He said, "I don't trust a man who doesn't cry." And I want to just say this, and then I got to do something else. They're motioning at me at the back. But how many of you realize that inside every warrior, there's a statesman who has emotions about things? And I'm not just talking about men. I'm talking about women here. Listen, there's times that we need to be strong. There's times that we need to be rigid. There's times that we need to say no. But there's times that we need to realize that we need to apply the spirit of the law, and we need to let our emotions be strong in us. Amen. I forgot to dismiss our children. Give the Lord a big hand clap as they are released to go minister to the Lord. Amen. Go minister to the Lord. Amen. So they're going at this time. But let me share with you what the Lord has instructed me to do. I'm not going to do a lot of teaching, but he told me that this war, last Sunday in this house, there was a prophetic word came forth from Chuck Pierce about the fact that if we didn't in the next 3 months as a church put the enemy under feet, that in the next 2 years, the terrorists and the Muslims are going to trump us under their feet. Please hear me. Do not believe that the Islam and the Muslim faith is a nice little thing that is not a threat. Please educate yourself. Get a proper biblical worldview on this. They want to annihilate us, okay? They want to stomp us out. Let me tell you, I said this last Sunday, they hate us because we support Israel. This thing began. Let me help you so you can understand. God gave Abraham and Sarah, when they were old in body, a promise of a son. And Abraham and Sarah decided that they would help God, and they went and got her handmaiden, Hagar, and brought her, and Abraham and her conceived a child who was named Ishmael. And this whole thing that's going on in the Middle East right now began as an act of disobedience of Abraham and Sarah when he laid with his handmaiden. Now, let me share with you this. In the culture of time when Abraham and Sarah were, it was not uncommon if a couple could not have a child naturally, that sometimes it would be that if the problem was with the wife, it would be that the husband would go and lie with her handmaiden and a child would be brought forth. So it wasn't just sin that he lied with her. It was sin that they did not believe the promise of God that their bodies in an older age would produce the child of promise who was Isaac and not Ishmael. And so all of this is going on over there right now and across the world is they consider us infidels. And they consider us a threat because we support the Jews or we support Israel in the manner that we did. And so I want you to understand that this is important. But today, the Lord told me, I want to break a Nero spirit off of you so that we can be ready to battle in this next season what's coming our way, and we can move up to that. How many of you know that Nero had the Antichrist spirit? And he would take Christians and light them as a torch when he was having parties in his garden. And he had his own brother poisoned and his mother killed so he could become who he is. And I'm telling you, I've never seen such a spirit of betrayal that's in the body of Christ right now. And you need to understand, it is affecting you, it is holding you back, and we must deal with that. Vicki, I couldn't remember, did you make an announcement that Ken Tony's going to be here Tuesday night? I didn't, okay, I missed that, sorry. Please come out on Tuesday night and be here so you'll have more information about the Convoy of Hope. This is important. But I want to read something to you about this Nero spirit. Let me get this flip where it works better. And I want you to listen to that. Standing in agreement with Christ and His kingdom, we proclaim that our passion for Christ, His kingdom, and His cause in America is renewed through Jesus. In agreement with the Word of God and Holy Spirit, we declare as people of the Reformation movement, we'll take our stand against the spirit of Nero that has risen up to stop the purposes of God's kingdom in America, the nations of the world. We proclaim a corporate offensive stand against the spirit of Nero. We ask you, Father, to forgive us for any bitterness or offense we've entertained, to cover us in your blood, in the blood of Jesus, our Lord and King. We choose forgiveness over offense, releasing those who have wounded us. Now, I want to zero in on that for just a moment. Let me share something with you. This is not a time to be harboring unforgiveness towards anyone. If a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, does it make a sound? This is not a time to be harboring unforgiveness. I don't care how wrong that you have been mistreated or how wrong you've been done. You need to forgive so that you can move on. Let me show something to you. In the book of John, chapter 20 and verse 23, it says, whatsoever sin you forgive shall be forgiven, but whatsoever sin you retain shall be retained. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
When you do not forgive the person who's wronged you, you yoke yourself to their sin. Let me give you an example. 70-some percent... of women who were raised by an abusive, alcoholic father will marry an abusive, alcoholic man. Current statistics. Why? Because if they don't forgive their father for being that way, they yoke themselves into that sin and darkness, and it will pull them through that offense and unforgiveness. Susan and I were ministering last fall to a couple, and the Lord said something to me I've never heard before. This is what I heard Him say. Okay? He says that a generational curse cannot be handed down unless there is unforgiveness. And it shook me because I'd never had that thought. I'd never gone down that line of thinking, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt it was the voice of God, and I heard it so clearly. And I just want to say this publicly, and you don't have to know, but there's been a lot of stuff on Facebook without my name attached recently that I'm a con artist, and I forgive those people. I'm sorry that they are deceived. I'm sorry that they feel that way. But let me share something with you need to understand. It is not right to harbor it. I changed that. It does not produce life to harbor unforgiveness, nor is it right to go on Facebook or any other media or talk to anyone and talk about someone that you've not applied Matthew 18:15? If you're not familiar with that, it says, if a brother errs or sins against you, go to him and you and him alone talk about it. And if you don't work it out, then you bring others to become involved in the situation. That is a kingdom principle that we must deal with. See, if you would go back in the history of Nero and understand, as a young child, there were some offenses that got sowed into him that he never let go, which caused a competitive, selfish spirit that caused him to do the same thing, a spirit to get ingrained in him, and he actually took on the same thing that Cain had. How many of you remember the story of Cain? Cain brought his offering out of preference. Abel, his brother, brought his offering out of conviction. He was convicted of God to give that. And when God received or accepted Abel's offering but refused Cain, he rose up and murdered his brother. Are you hearing me? And so it's important to understand that we must move in forgiveness if we're going to break this attack of a Nero spirit off of us. See, we need to let the high praises of God in our mouth be as a two-edged sword so that we can execute vengeance on the nation. This is all out of Psalms 149. And punishment on the people to bind their kings with chain and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This is the honor that we have as a saint of God. And we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the spirits that are in this area. Let me share something with you. It's tragic and bad, whatever happened in Ferguson. None of us are sure. I don't care what's been reported. None of us were not there. We're not sure what happened. I'm not taking either side. If an injustice was done, it needs to be dealt with. But if an injustice was not done, then that needs to be dealt with accordingly, whichever way that fall. But here's the thing about it is, a young man lost his life. And now another man's got to live out the rest of his life knowing that he took that young man's life either righteously or unrighteously. That is sad. And it is, we need to understand that this is the spirit of Nero that's trying to come. I just got a report and I have documented it. Of the 150 some people that have been arrested in Ferguson, the majority of them are not from Ferguson, and the majority of them came from Chicago out of the Muslim community. They came there to help escalate this thing to a level that we don't need it to go to. Regardless of what's being said, it's not a black or white thing. It is a non-kingdom thing that is causing this to happen. And we need to realize that we have the power within us through prayer and intercession to pull down this selfish stronghold that's over this nation. But this Nero spirit, Nero betrayed his brother by having him killed. He poisoned his mother. He betrayed the Christians by burning them as torches in his garden. And we have the power to put this under feet. Are you hearing me? See, we've got to break the spirit of betrayal. We do so by confirming our allegiance to the call and cause of Christ. We need to understand that God's kingdom agenda and his work of awakening and reformation, we are all carrying that no matter where, in the beauty salons, at work, where in the TV stations, that wherever that you work, you have the power to be salt and light there if you will choose to be. Or you have the power to stir this up. I've seen some of you in this room and your postings about Ferguson have not been wise. Yes, it's your Facebook wall. Yes, you're allowed to say, yes, we have the freedom of speech, but I want to tell you something. I'm very cautious in a matter like that of speaking where it could be misunderstood or where it can fuel something to further divide. I want to tell you, the Muslims want to divide the white race from the black race so that this thing will be fueled and the Christians will not stand together. I'm preaching far better than you're amening. Some of you think, I didn't come to church to hear something like this. Listen, you better wake up or you're going to be trampled under feet. This thing is coming if we don't wake up and start working against it. Disagree with me if you want to. I'll be here for you to come and get some training if we have time when you wake up. I break the spirit of betrayal off of your life and off of those that want to use it against you. How many of you have been betrayed in a relationship? I would dare say there's probably not a person in this room that's not been betrayed. But listen, let me give you the antidote. Is that the right word? That's not. What is it you take when you're snake bit? That's the word I'm looking for. Antivenom, whatever. I want to give you the antivenom for being betrayed. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to Christ's purpose. That betrayal can make you stronger if you'll forgive. Or that betrayal can cause you to fall in a deep pit and die if you don't choose to forgive. I choose to be a forgiver of people and to walk in perpetual forgiveness because I read in an old book that I was created in His image and He is certainly the pinnacle, the benchmark of forgiveness towards us. And if we are created in His image, then we're going to have to learn to forgive. Let me tell you, talk about God's nature in this thing, His ability. God chooses to trust everyone. How many of you have read in God's word about where it speaks about blotting your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life? See, before the foundation of the earth, God wrote every name of every person into the Lamb's Book of Life. And let me just help you so you understand that. He didn't write, I forgot your maiden name just now. Huh? McMahon. He didn't write Britt McMahon. He didn't write Susan Riffey. He didn't write any of these names. He didn't write Dawn Nash in it. God has a name for you that He's written on a white stone, and that name was written in that book. And when you come into that place, see, you can have a positional relationship with God, or you can have a practical relationship with God. And when you come into that place, the book of Revelation said He's going to write a name upon a stone that only you and Him know. But before the foundation of the earth, God was so trusting that He looked down and He wrote Paul, who became the Apostle Paul. He wrote his name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And even Paul said he was the chief among sinners. Some of you, including me, had such a rough life that it was some doubt about whether you were going to make it or not. But God so trusted that you were going to yield your heart to Him that He allowed your name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the earth. Man, that's a lot of trust. See, God doesn't write your name in when you get born again. He blots people's name out when they don't become born again. Are you hearing me? See, some of you need to go home from this message today and you need to pray that every hidden thing in your life be made manifest so that you can deal with it and move on. I'm sharing with you that I believe there's good days ahead, but I'm sharing with you there's a pressure that's going to come that's going to bring out the weak things in you, and you'll either deal with them now or you can deal with them by wrestling with the cross. We sang a lot about the blood today. I want to tell you, people don't understand the power of the blood. There is a power in the blood that was given us that can, it doesn't just redeem us. It sets us on a course for life. It protects our spirit, man. It is a powerful thing. But the spirit of Nero that's across this area wants, it not only wants you to become betrayed, it wants you to become a betrayer. At this point, I'd love to say I ain't changing. But that's not what I need to say. I'm going to be faithful to the things that God has put in my heart, and on those I'm not changing, but the things that are in me that need to change, I'm willing to surrender and allow the change to come. Are you? See, you will never come to that place that you can call him Abba, Father, Daddy, God. You'll never come to that place until you come to a place of surrender, until you come to the place that you're not yielding to the spirit of Nero that will cause you to betray family. It will cause you to betray friends. You know, let me just share something with you. I don't care how wrong you've been done. If somebody... If you don't forgive that someone, or you begin to speak and you've not tried to reconcile with them, then you are opening the door for tragic situations to come your way. Someone contacted me this week, and I looked at a little bit of the postings by a group of people that were posted about me this week. Just so, and I want to tell you, it broke my heart and caused me to pray more for them than I've ever prayed. Things are, you know, being, anyway, we have to live in perpetual forgiveness. If you don't, they will snag you. See, we got to break this spirit of slander. It's actually murmuring. Do you know that murmuring was one of about five things that kept the children of Israel from crossing over into the promised land? Now let me help you with what murmuring is. Gossip is just telling. Let's say that Dan Billman drops a block on his something on his foot at the end of the service, and he says a word that he shouldn't say because he's a man of God. Well, you can gossip with that by going out here and telling what he did rather than covering his nakedness. See, we don't cover people's sin, we cover their nakedness. How many of you know sometimes things are just best not spoken? But here's what murmuring is. Murmuring is when I'm going to go to Diana Walker and I'm going to talk with her about Vicki Billman, but I'm not willing to talk to Vicki about her issues or my issues with her. And murmuring goes on more so in the body of Christ than it does out in the world. I know some heathen kingdom people, unborn again, that have better kingdom principles about them and keeping their word and getting in your face and say, I don't like that about you, than people that's in the church. We have this idea in the church that we have to be all nice and loving. I don't care what you say to me if it's said to my face. I can handle that. But when you want to run around and murmur and you're not willing to apply Matthew 18:15, what you're saying is, Nero, I've got a target on my back. I've got a red laser dot on me. Just shoot me because I am fair game. When the book of Ecclesiastes says in chapter 10 and verse 8, it says, if you break the hedge, a serpent will bite you. And when you carry yourself contrary to God's word and to kingdom law, you are saying, Nero spirit, come on me. And it not only, I'm going to use you for example, it not only comes on this woman of God right here, it will come on these young girls that are her daughters. When David stayed home, King David, at a time that kings went to war, he rose at evening time. He walked out on his terrace. He saw Bathsheba bathing. He lusted for her. He laid with her. He had Uriah, her husband, and others killed. See, it didn't start with a direct sin. It started with irresponsibility. He stayed home at a time when kings go to war. What is the king of Israel doing staying home when war is going on? And you're not going to like this, some of you in the room. We saw that very disobedience the other day with all this that's going on where they're killing the Christians in Iraq and our president went to the golf course. Lord spoke that to me. He said, what happened that day is no different when David stayed home at a time when kings went to war. And then he wrote, what's a man of responsibility doing getting out of bed at evening time? God's word reports this, records it. It set him up for the sin of adultery. It set him up for the sin of betrayal. But can I share something with you? Here's the interesting thing. It didn't affect David directly as much as it affected his descendants. Why do you think Absalom became an Absalom? In other words, when David broke that hedge through irresponsibility and the sin of adultery and murder, he said, come get my children. He didn't say it in words, but he gave the enemy. See, some of you need to realize that you need to have your bloodlines cleansed because the enemy has some rights of some of the things. I'm fixing to go through a bloodline cleansing with Robert Henderson real soon because I'm tired of some of the attacks that are coming against me. There's not sin in my life, but there is sin in my generational lines going up that I want that door closed so I can say to the devil, hell no, no more. But it's too easy to just play church and come every Sunday and get a warm and fuzzy feeling and feel like you've served God and go home and live defeated all week because you have not closed that door to these generational curses. And let me just share something with you. It's not about somebody else casting something out of you. If you'll get a hold of the cross and get a hold of Jesus and you get splinters in your mouth and you'll understand the power of the resurrection, you can deal with some of this stuff yourself. But it's so much easier. We complain. I hope I don't get in trouble. I might get in trouble because we have visitors. I'll just be in trouble. We complain about Catholicism and how they reverence and honor the Pope in that place. But see, we want to run to our favorite deliverance preacher. And we want that the authority in their life. I'm not telling you this totally wrong, but at some place, grow up. And realize you've got that authority that Matt Koss sang about and spoke about today. Barbara, you and I both know if they just get a revelation of blood, they wouldn't need some of that, would they? I'm telling you, the blood has cleansed me. Are you hearing me? Murmuring has got to cease. I'm telling you, what's coming, if you got the hedge broke, you're going to be a casualty. We're driving Mom back to Greenbrier today, and we're coming back through Little Rock to pray for a friend of mine that ought to not be sick. He's younger than I am. Got a defibrillator in his heart. I mean, on Friday night, got a report that everything was shutting down. The doctor came in on Saturday morning and said, you're 200% better. I can't believe this. Why? Prayer works. But can I tell you what? It's only so long we can sustain our friends and family through prayer. If they don't get a hold of it themselves and begin to exercise their authority, they're going down. Brother Hagin, gone to be with the Lord now, but his sister had cancer years and years ago in his ministry. And God spoke to him and gave him a word. He went and laid hands on his sister, and she was totally healed. I don't remember like I used to, but somewhere around 10 or 11 years later, a different form of cancer in a different place in her body came back, and Brother Hagin was fasting, praying, preparing himself to go and lay hands on her again and get her healed. And the Lord told him, said, you can pray any prayer you want to, but she won't be healed this time. I gave her 11 years to learn her own authority, and she didn't choose to do so. This is written in his books. If you don't like, listen, Kenneth Hagin Sr. is a, I'm telling you, he's solid. I have to share this. I'm going to keep sharing it because of the prophetic word. He was asked a few months before his death, is there anything you change about your ministry after 60 years of ministry? And he said, I would teach more and tell more of the sufferings and persecutions I went through to become the man of faith that I am, because I am concerned that I've created an impression that you can read my books and have the faith I have. That is a prophetic word for now. We've got to come out of this place, and you've got to get a hold of God. You have the same relationship with God that I do. You don't need me as an apostle prophet to be the one to speak into your life. You can get a hold of him in a manner that you can rise up beyond the place that you've been living. You got the authority, all authority in heaven and earth was given to Jesus, and he gave it to us. But let me just tell you why most people don't have any authority. Authority is responsibility motivated by love. Can I have your name, ma'am?
Tenaria.
What?
Tenaria.
Say it again. I didn't hear you.
Tenaria.
Tenaria? Wow, got it right. I've never met her before today that I'm aware of. I like her spirit. I appreciate her being here to honor Elijah and honor Leah. I'm happy about that. But see, I don't have authority in her life because I'm not taking responsibility. Now, if God would give us a relationship and I became her minister, then I have a place. But you do not have authority in anything or unto anything you're not willing to take responsibility for. Authority is responsibility motivated by love. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. You know why? Because he could say that I take responsibility for everything in heaven and earth. Do you want more authority? Are you willing to take more responsibility? And we are an irresponsible people. We shirk responsibility. I'm getting in trouble. No, I don't like trouble, but it's my middle name. People that have no responsibility want the government to provide them everything. I don't want to fish. I want to know how to fish. Because if I'm able to fish, not only can I provide for my household, but I might could provide for her household or Dan's household. But if I take the fish that you feed me every day and I split it up among all the people in this room without the supernatural increase of God, somebody gonna starve to death pretty quick.
That's right.
Alan Vinson went to India about the time that T.L. Osborne did. Worked with those people for 3 years to build a relationship, and every year this village he was working with would plant one sack of wheat, and every year they would harvest 11 sacks of wheat. And every year in that village, people starved to death. And after he had authority with them because he took responsibility and built relations. Another thing about authority, all authority is relational. And he built a relationship with them. He convinced them eventually to not just save one sack and plant it, but to plant two sacks of wheat. The next year, they planted two sacks just to show you the synergy or the exponential curve. They didn't harvest 22 sacks. They harvested, it was either 24 or 25 sacks. And the next year, and people starved to death because they didn't have as much wheat. You know, the year that they they lived on, nine instead of 10. But the next year they plant, by the fifth year they were sending wheat seed to another village. I'm speaking to, Nero doesn't want you sharing what you got. He wants you to believe, he wants you to yield to a poverty mindset, a poverty spirit, which is not about not having, it's the fear of not having. Since when, can I just really get, It's 12:06. I'm going to quit in 4 minutes, I promise you. Since when should we reward irresponsibility? Since when should we be forced to give people contraceptives so they can be irresponsible? Come on. Since when should it even be a question about people who are on welfare being drug tested? You can drug test me anytime you want to. Like my kids, one Thanksgiving our kids were talking, they shared with us about their drug problem. I never knew our kids had a drug problem. I mean, soon then I sat there shocked. And finally my son looked me in the eye and he said, "Yeah, Dad," said, "y'all drug us to every church service you could drug us to." I guess they did have a drug problem. Well, that was true. I mean, Bobby Dean grew up under the front pew of First Assembly of God on a blanket. Y'all have heard me tell him, I ain't got but about 7 stories, and I just tell him over, but had his little John Deere tractor one day one Sunday night on the front pew, Susan leading worship on that Ovation guitar, and Bobby Dean forgets he's in church. You know, he's down there on the front pew, and he goes, "Burn, burn, burn." And I mean, I was standing on the front row, and I didn't look at him, I looked at her. And she looked down off that guitar over at him on that there at that, and I want to tell you, he had his back to her. He felt those eagle eyes burning like lasers into the back of his head, and he turned around and he shrunk down and crawled under the front pew. I read in an old book somewhere where it says God can direct you with his eyes. So can a mama. Amen. Are you hearing me? You understand that, Bobby? Okay. Amen. I'm so glad she didn't spare the rod with you. Too much. I want to close out. Let me just give you some things that's under this Nero spirit, just so you can give yourself a test. It'll cause a spirit of slander. It'll also bring financial loss, financial struggles that are over and over and over. It has a sexual perversion to it. I don't want to be too graphic. We have some young people, but when he would light Christians as torches in his garden, it was during times of orgies that was taking place. He was also bisexual, Nero was. You can study all this in history. I'm telling you, I'm fixing hit. Y'all better get ready. I probably will preach the rest of this year on Nero. I mean, I saw something in the spirit today. I want you blessed. I don't want you destroyed. And if we don't deal with this Nero spirit that's over this nation, I'm telling you, it's coming. Another thing about it is when you deal with Nero, you're going to overcome disease, sickness, because you'll begin to establish healing, health, and wholeness. Anybody beside me agree that there's too many Christians that are sick today? Don't have to be. My 4 minutes is up, but I'm going to close with this. I woke up the other morning, the day that Ginger passed from this life into greater life, and I had the thought of this. My son-in-law, Brian, who is such a blessing, not just to my daughter, but to Susan and I. And I thought about the other day, the 4 times that the hospital called us and told us that he would not live through the night. I remember one of them. I looked into my daughter Dawn's eyes and I saw her. I mean, I saw a look in her eyes that daddies never want to see in their children. For those of you who didn't know, he had been diagnosed with lupus. And they told us 4 times, but can I tell you something? Between the Robert Hendersons and the Harold Everlys and the Mark Carballs and this woman going and Dawn staying with him and praying and quoting Psalms 91 and everything, he's here today and he's healthy to the most part. In fact, his problems don't even have anything to do with lupus. It has to do from all the medication and stuff they gave him trying to treat the lupus. And I thought about Ginger because her room was not filled with that faith. Her family were not on the page. I'm not being critical of them. They were not on the page that they wanted to believe in the manner that we knew how to believe. And they even made it harder and harder for CityGate people to be able to pray for her. I don't know if you're aware, they actually blocked me, signed an order that I could not go in her hospital room. I know this kind of stuff gets me in trouble, but you know what? I'm used to it. And yet we lost her. I've watched my mother from when I picked her up on Thursday. I'm getting in trouble here, Lord. But I've watched her health increase. Because where I live, that place on College Road we just bought, there's a covenant there. Psalms 25 and 14 says the secret of the Lord is with those who fear God and he makes his covenant. When she comes on my property, there is supernatural healing and health that is afforded to her that she might not get in other places. Am I making sense? Or am I just blowing in the wind? I close with this. If getting on my knees would help you, if begging you would help you, I will do that. But do not march into the days that are ahead with apathy and passivity and the Word of God not strong in your heart. Deal with those hidden areas of sin and irresponsibility and sickness and disobedience and that, and rise up to that place, because I'm telling you, we have an enemy who wants to go around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may destroy, and he's coming for you. He's looking for you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. And you cannot continue in being irresponsible that will lead you into sin and will open up the bowels of hell to suck you away from God and cause you to live a life of defeated, a life in defeat. God has a plan for your life. He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life, which does not begin when you go to the grave. It begins when you come into that place of intimacy, that place of a life-giving relationship. It's available. The greatest price that was ever paid was paid for you and I. And you and I, I'm going to say it this way, I take you off of that. And I would make a mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ if I don't live according to what he gave me.